No? Open your Bibles, if you would. Book of Revelation, chapter number 6.
Chapter number 6. My mind's been a thousand places where I want to go with this. That can be good and that cannot be so good. But I was actually wanting to deal with the fifth seal being open, but I want to deal with a little bit more than that. I want to open up by saying, as an introduction, the year 2020 has been one of the worst, I guess you say that. I was trying to think of the word I want to use, but it's been a year that has been so evident how quick the Lord can perform the end time prophecy. We were singing a song the other day, "I'm getting ready to leave this world." Well, the world is getting ready to receive their master. I get looking and I've watched and listened, and I saw this last week the I can't remember all the initials they've got, LBQ, whatever, I don't know, whatever their initials are, you know who I'm talking about, the homosexual groups, how that they approached Vice President Biden and asked him if he would to persecute the churches. Because of their preaching and their doctrines. I heard another newscaster on one of the channels stating that all white Christian men needed to be persecuted, and they've made an attempt to try to isolate anyone votes for Trump, anyone helps Trump or do anything. They've tried to all the lawyers in Washington, D.C. that was helping him, different ones of them, they put pressure on them. They've dropped out and so forth because they said, we won't use you for nothing else if you do this. And I got thinking about how in this election we watched our nation and so many things have changed. I see and I know that our nation is split. I realize that. But I don't know if anybody's going to walk away and feel that any satisfaction has ever been done in all this process. It's a very dangerous time because it's amazing the things that they're pushing that we thought in this nation would have never be pushed to any legitimate degree. Socialism is being pushed in more ways than you realize. I mean, even right now, you know, they just keep talking about throwing money, and I agree that these people that they've shut their businesses down, these people are hurting, and they need help, but where's it all going to end? Until they make everybody dependent upon the government. Then when they do that, then the government becomes so powerful that they can oppress the people any way they want to. And that's how socialist and communist countries began. And I don't mean to preach down or to seem to have a message that drags people down, but it's a message of warning. The reason why is I really believe that the Antichrist and the things that he will perform will be under socialistic decrees and abilities. And I believe that we have formed this country to accept. I mean, we've had things right now that's happened that, you know, they've just absolutely come in and you know, they've done things that is just staggering to the mind. I mean, they built off a few cases like Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. It was all built on a lie. And yet all this Black Lives Matter has created over that one and a few other cases that was built on lies. And then all of a sudden, look how quick it was, like fire that just run across this nation. And they shut everybody down that didn't agree with it. And they shamed everybody and they isolated everybody. I mean, even all of the athletics, the pro athletics, all of a sudden they all had to wear it on their back and they had to shut it down. They had to post it on the walls. They had to put it everywhere. Not even realizing what, if you got into reading, what was behind that, what wall was behind it. And it was not only that, it was many other things too. I mean, just take the media. They hid everything they wanted to hide. They tore down whoever they wanted to tear down. They kept things from whoever they wanted to keep things from. They turned everything around however they wanted to do it. And I am amazed, but I am convinced that this world stands ready to be deceived, to receive anybody that is ready to come in and take that control. The spirit of Antichrist, John said, was at work in his day, and is even more alive in the day in which we live. It's dangerously involved. I think we'll see it, especially if something happens that these progressives gets in. I think we'll see what kind of spirit of Antichrist we have in this nation. And I believe we'll have open persecutions, and I believe we'll have a lot of people standing behind it or standing there not saying a word for fear of what may happen to them. But it's amazing. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 6. I'll try not to get off. I'll try to get focused on this and not spend too much time. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Here Jesus is fixing to open up the seals, the book. Now in chapter 5, we find the celebration that there is one in heaven that's able to do this. Now when we study the Old Testament, we find that only one person that was responsible, that was capable of doing what needed to be done to reclaim the earth again for the proper use in which the earth was created, was Jesus. He was the only one that met the qualifications of the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer had to fit several different laws and had to comply and had to qualify. And then he had to redeem, be able to redeem the land that was lost. And so when John was weeping because no one was able to open this book, all of a sudden the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world was saw. And there was rejoicing and praising God in heaven that one was going to do that. When you read the book of Revelation, and I won't have time but just touch on some things tonight, but when you read the book of Revelation, sometime we may do another study in it, you find that from chapter 6 to chapter 19 is a time period of we call the tribulation, and the last half is a great tribulation. It covers a period of 7 years. It is a time when there's a lot of things that's going to take place, but there's a couple things, major things that's taking place that you have to keep in focus. Two or three things you have to keep in mind as you study the book of Revelation. One is, it's a heavenly view. God's given it from his viewpoint, what's happening upon the earth. Number two, Jesus, every time he opens up a seal, there'll be seven seals opened up. The seventh seal will open up seven trumpet judgments. The last trumpet judgment will open up seven vials or bowls to be poured out upon the earth. The last being the battle, what we call the Battle of Armageddon, when the Antichrist and the false prophet both will be taken, cast into hell, and Satan himself will then be taken in chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, and he will be bound for 1,000 years while Christ reigns upon the earth. Now, in studying this and understanding this, you have to understand that the thing that ushers in the 7 year period, the tribulation time, is a rapture catching away of the church. The Bible talks about that the church, every one of us that are truly saved, we possess the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is what prevents the Antichrist from taking his reign. When he is moved out of the way, he is a restrainer. When he is moved out of the way, then the Antichrist will be able to come onto the scene. And that's what we'll have pictures of. The first four seals that will be broken when the book is open. And by the way, it's all intended to redeem the earth. When Jesus is through, at the last vial, he will come back. And as I said, he will come back. He will judge the nations. He will open up his kingdom. He will bound Satan for 1,000 years. And the false prophet and the beast in chapter 19, the last few verses, chapter 19, will be cast into hell, be tormented forever and ever. In chapter 20, after the 1,000 years has expired, Satan will be loosened for a little season. Then he will be taken in verses 7 through 10 at chapter 20. And he will be cast into hell. And there he'll be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. When you look at the book of Revelation as well, you have to understand that the time of tribulation was a time for Israel. It's called, the last half is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the Great Tribulation. It's called a time by Jesus, as there in chapter 24 of Matthew, as there would never be another time. And if it wasn't for the elect's sake that their time would be shortened, there would be no one that would survive what goes on during that time. Jesus, when he's talking about it in Matthew chapter 24, he used a couple verses that really confused people, and it talked about that woe unto those that give suck in that day, and hope that your flight is not in the winter time. And they didn't understand, a lot of people don't understand what he's talking about, but he's talking about in the middle of tribulation time, when Jesus describes in verse 15 of chapter 24 of Matthew, the abomination desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set in the temple, and he will declare himself to be God, and he will turn out all floods of wrath upon the nation of Israel. Chapter 12 of Revelation describes what will be taking place in the middle of that tribulation to make it so painful. Satan himself and all of his angels will be taken from the heavenlies and be cast down to the earth. The last 3.5 years, Satan will not be able to leave the earth. He will be upon the earth. And so there'll be all kinds of persecution. The Bible says that the dragon's going to open his mouth to swallow up Israel and going to try to destroy Israel. And they're going to flee. And they're going to have to flee, and they're going to have to hide in places that God's got prepared for Israel to hide during those last 3 years. Or 3.5 years. It will be a time in which the thing we call the mark of the beast will come about. It will be a time in which no one can buy and sell. No one can do anything. Be a time of great persecution. But you've got to keep in mind, not only is Jesus redeeming the earth after the church and saints are taken away to prepare for his kingdom, he is also preparing Israel for his kingdom. He is also going to preach during this time, according to verse 14 of chapter 24, Jesus said that they will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the same gospel that John the Baptist began to preach, Jesus began to preach, his disciples began to preach, until Israel was taken out of the way and the church become prominent, and that is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare ye, or repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there'll be 144,000 of the Jewish people that will be sealed, commissioned to do nothing but preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they will go out throughout all the gospel preaching. The Bible teaches that there will be people saved from every nation, kindred, and tongue. But let me say this. There are some people that teaches that those who are not saved, or those that are not saved now, will be able to be saved during the tribulation time. But the truth of the matter is, 2 Thessalonians, and we're not going to go to all these, you can write them down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 10 through 12, explains clearly that all that refuse to believe the gospel shall be damned. They will believe a lie. They will have, God will send upon them a strong delusion to make them believe something that's not true. There's another scripture that talks about the green tree when it's present. And you know what's happening is this. If people won't be saved during the time right now that they have the freedom to be saved, they're not going to be saved when it's going to cost them their life to be saved. And during that time, it will cost them their life. They will be persecuted greatly. Now, if you keep your finger in Matthew chapter 24 a moment, we will go there a few times. And so just go ahead and mark it if you would. And I want to bring about just a couple things if I can real quick without getting too carried away. My only problem when I get into Revelation is I get too carried away with it and I get sidetracked on some things. I'll try to keep focused. Let's begin reading if you would in chapter 6 and read quickly if you would verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Notice it wasn't earned, it was given to him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Then, of course, verse number 12 starts the sixth seal. Now, when you see that, there would be earthquakes and the moon and sun, all kinds of things happen. I don't have time to get in that tonight. But the amazing is the difference between the two prayers. The prayers of the saints in heaven that has been persecuted is one thing. The prayers of the sinners on the earth is going to pray that the mountains and the caves shall fall upon them when they see all this devastation with the earth. Of course, many people's deceived in thinking the earth is controlled by Mother Nature. But that's what happens when you forget God and don't realize that God is in control of all these things. But anyway, getting back here, let's look at just a couple things real quickly. And let me try to cover this quickly and then get to the point where I want to make. What we're seeing is in chapter 6 through 9 is there's certain wrath that will be poured out upon the earth. Now, in looking at this, some people says, "I just can't see these things happening." Well, I am convinced in watching the last several years, I'm convinced that anyone can be exalted in the world in a moment's notice. I have watched, I remember when President Obama was elected, and man, he was treated like royalty all across the world. And even today, half the people treat them with royalty. And yet, they never want to criticize them for anything and just lift up everything they did. But anyway, I knows how quick they received him. And I thought, this Antichrist, now you've got to remember what the Antichrist is all about. The Antichrist is a son of Satan. He's a son of prediction. He's a son of hell. He is the one. The devil has always been an imitator of God. The devil never comes up on anything on his own. He wants to rob and steal from what God has come up with. Where there is a trinity of God, there is going to be a trinity of evil. as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There will be Satan, there will be the Antichrist, and there will be the false prophet. The false prophet will imitate the Holy Spirit. He will try to do miracles and so forth and perform miracles in front of people. And he will create an image of the beast, and he will declare and he will point people to the beast, just as the Holy Spirit of God points people to the Lamb of God today. And therefore, the Antichrist is the imitator of Christ. He is the one that wants to be worshipped. He will sit into the temple. He will declare himself to be God, and he will want everybody to worship him. And everyone must take his mark and must worship him and pay homage unto him. Somebody said, I can't see anybody doing that. Well, you just let socialism come in. The reason why you can't see it happening is because you haven't lived in a socialistic country. You get in a socialist country where the leader, he can say, you die, you don't. You die, you don't. You get in these communist countries, they kill you and they do whatever they want to do to you. And they make you like it. And so therefore, I can see how the world, because they have taken their eyes off of God, the majority of people, and therefore they are full of being deceived and full of deception, I can see how the Antichrist will come up on the scene. Now, notice if you would, in chapter 6, some people try to claim that this is Christ. The first couple verses of this writer, because he rides a white horse, like Jesus does in the 19th chapter of Revelation. But there's a couple of problems. Number one, Jesus has already been introduced, and he's already come and performed his work here upon this earth, and he died and buried and rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is the one up in heaven at this time opening his seals. He's not the one coming on this horse. The one coming on this horse is none other than the imitator, the Antichrist. He comes with a bow. He's pretending to come in the name of peace, but the Bible tells us they'll be declaring peace, peace, where there won't be peace. He'll come at first, and people think that he has the answers. They'll think that he's the coolest thing since Kool-Aid, and they'll receive him in, and they will just let him march right in and take positions, and they'll give him power. And I'll tell you what, when you give somebody socialistic powers, you can't ever take them back from them again. The only way you can do that is just overthrow the whole thing. But nobody will have the initiative to do that at this point in time. If we understand the book of Daniel, there'll be probably 10 of the old Roman Empire kingdoms that will give their allegiance to this guy, and 3 of them will be soaked up by him in the position that he holds. I don't know if that's true or not, but that seems to be what Daniel is teaching in his prophecy. Now, getting into this, then we find that this horseman not only comes, but the Bible says that he set up on, had a bow, and he had a crown that was given to him. Now, this crown is different than the crown that Jesus wears. Two different words, Greek words for it. Stephanos, right here, is a crown of a victor. Jesus' crown is one of a potentate, a ruling potentate, monarch. In other words, the idea. He will have earned his crown to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This one, God's going to give him and let him have that position. And you've got to realize, this is Satan's last hurrah. You've got to remember, as Jesus is fixing to come here in 7 years and reign, the imitator of Jesus is going to try to reign the earth. He's going to reign, but his reign's only going to last 7 years. And he's going to have all the support of Satan behind him. He's going to have all the support of the false prophet behind him. And the false prophet will obviously be leading a big religion. And we could get into that tonight, and I don't want to get into all that tonight, but he's evidently going to have all these around the world pointing to him and swallowing him up as the one that we've been waiting on. And they're going to be convinced, and they're going to come in. And, of course, when the Antichrist is through, he's going to destroy the kings of the earth. He's going to destroy the religions of the earth. He's going to destroy everything in the earth because only he matters. But you've got to remember, he, during this 7 years, is trying to reign as God of the earth, okay? He's trying to take that position. So here he comes, and he has been given this crown. And he went forth conquering to conquer. In other words, God allowed him to gather this power and prestige. God lifts up who he wants to lift up. He puts down who he wants to put down. But when it's God's time, he's going to allow these things to happen. Now, looking on, if you would, notice if you would, the second seal when it's broken. Now, again, we have a rider. And by the way, horses in the Bible is always given as a sense of power and military might and so forth. And so here the Bible describes these as horsemen. Now, the Bible tells us this second seal in verse number 3 was broken. And in verse 4, he said he went, another horse was red. Now, red was a symbol of the blood and symbol of war and so forth that will be taken and bloodshed. He will be a bloody conqueror. He will remove peace from the earth, but he will do it with the blessings of the Antichrist. The Bible says, and another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. In other words, and Jesus said, if you look in Matthew chapter 24, and by the way, I meant to show you, in Matthew 24, if you follow along, there's kind of an outline like that in verse number 5. Jesus told him that many would come in his name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And then in verse 6, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars and so forth. And in verse 7, kingdom against kingdom. And you know, what's happening is this. He's going to stir things up between people. You think things can't get stirred up? I don't know how close this country may be to a civil war. I don't know how much people's going to stand by and just watch them just take and do whatever they want to do with no repercussions. Soon people's going to get tired of it. And you know, if we get where our voices has no power, our votes has no power, they're just going to put in who they want to put in, however they want to put in, something's got to break. But I can see how nation will rise against nation and family against family and brother. And you know, in studying the Civil War, did you know when Hitler was coming on the scene, they praised him as a man of peace? Did you ever read a history of him? And he'd already wrote a book about some things he was going to do. And they still praised him as a man of peace. And you know, it wasn't until he invaded Poland. As a matter of fact, Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of at England, he stood up and he made a statement tried to warn people. He was shouted down in the House of Commons because he was trying to warn people about Hitler. They thought he was crazy. And the Prime Minister of England had met with Hitler before that. And then later on, of course, Churchill held his position. But until he invaded Poland, then when he did, it was too late. I'm afraid this man's going to be a lot like this. Then all of a sudden, when he comes in with this idea of peace, all of a sudden war is going to break out everywhere. He's going to create all kinds of wars. It's amazing. It's amazing that these liberals say that they're against war, and then you get somebody come in here, and he's taking away all the wars and calming it all down, then all of a sudden, and they're against everything that he's doing. But it's amazing to me. But anyway, getting back to this, notice the Bible says that if you look back again, that power was given him in verse number 4. In other words, he didn't have it to his own. God gave him the power to do what he's going to do. Somebody said, I don't believe one man. Listen, if God gives a man a power, he can do anything he wants to do. Look on. Remember, God's going to send strong delusion upon the earth. People's going to believe a lie. And the Bible says that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now, some people think this great sword is he has given him the ability to use the modern weaponry. Imagine if a man had the weapons that we have right now at his disposal, and he was willing to use them. Imagine what could happen. Well, if you follow with me here, and when we get down to the fourth seal, a fourth of the whole world has been killed. A fourth of the whole world. Now, this is all happening in the first half of the tribulation period. Notice if you would in verse number 5. And when he opened the third seal, he heard a beast come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse. Now the word black is meant and it's a symbol of a famine. It's also a symbol of a poor, of some scarcity, and so forth. In other words, and it talks about that he had in his hand a pair of balances. In other words, what happens when war breaks out? Famines break out. And all of a sudden, famines across the world and people going hungry. Now, the fact that he's holding balances indicates that food is going to be very scarce. The Bible tells us and describes in verse 6, he says, a measure of wheat for a penny. Now, when you go back in the Bible, you'll find that it talks about a measure of wheat in Matthew chapter 20. That measure of wheat, actually, it was eight measures of wheat for a penny and 24 measures of barley for a penny. But in other words, it's going to get the food's going to get so tight during this time that it's going to be an eighth of what it was worth before, or eight times what it was worth before, I should say. In other words, instead of being able to buy eight measures of wheat for a penny, and by the way, a penny is a day's work, you will only be able to buy one measure, about a quart of wheat. Or you'd be able to buy three measures of barley, where you can, in Matthew 20, you could buy 24 with a penny. Now, and notice that he says, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, somebody asked me, they said, why is all this money flowing in to the election when they've done so well? Because the rich is going to do well anywhere they go. Listen, if they don't do well in America, they'll go to China and do well. They'll go to other countries and do well. But here the Bible says that when this happens, the rich is not going to be, and oil and wine was always a type of luxuries or symbol of luxuries. And, you know, those that are rich are not going to be hurt during this famine. Just the poor folks. And, you know, the whole idea of socialism is getting people so poor that they depend upon the government to give them everything. And man, in this last election, all you keep hearing is, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. It's amazing. But people don't understand. It's a suck you in and get you where you are dependent upon the government. But here, as the wars break out, as blood is shed, as famine comes about, all of a sudden, and by the way, if you look in Matthew 24, Jesus forewarned that there would be famines. Also, he said that there would be pestilence. Notice if you would in verse number 8. And I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. In other words, not only is there going to be a lot of people die, going to be a lot of people die and go to hell during this time. The majority of people is going to go to hell. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, you find death and hell combined. The Bible tells us that over in chapter 1 and verse 18 of Revelation, that Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. If you go in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible tells us in verse number 12, verse number 13, that death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them. And the death refers to the body, the earth and the body, and hell is pointing to the soul of people. And so also the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse 14 that death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And so we find that they were cast into the lake of fire eventually. And so here the Bible says that when people are dying, that hell's going to be falling right behind death and sucking their souls right into hell. What a terrible time this will be. But notice if you would, the Bible says that death and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. In other words, He's going to use all kinds of instruments to bring all that death about. Now imagine this. Most of us in our lifetime, we'd only heard of pestilence. We didn't dream that a pestilence could go all over the world. And they still haven't seemed to solve it. They said, well, it keeps growing. It will as long as God wants it to. But can you imagine when God begins to send pestilence all over the world, how fast death is going to hit people? Can you imagine that? Some people says, well, we're told to go stay in our homes. What if your homes had no food? Where would you go? What would you do? And you would go out and you would do whatever you had to do to get a meal. And then what would happen at the end when everybody was so hungry and everybody was starving? All of a sudden, the government says, here you go. Get this stamp. If you want to buy and sell, get this stamp. We'll give you some food. We'll make sure you're fed. Now, without it, you can't get it. How many of the world, when the church and saints are taken, how many left behind are going to refuse something like that? They're going to believe a lie. They're going to run to it. The Bible says in verse number 9, and then the fifth seal was opened. And actually, this is where I plan on just preaching nothing but the fifth seal, but I'm just going to touch on it tonight, not get too deep into it. But let's look at it just a moment and say this before I close. Notice that they were under the altar. Now remember, when Moses was given the pattern to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, he was given a pattern by God out of things that were already in heaven. The Bible reveals to us that there is a Holy of Holies in heaven. As a matter of fact, that's where Jesus took his blood. That's where the mercy seat is. And so therefore we have a pattern, and the Bible also teaches that there is altars in heaven. And here the Bible says that there were some things that were sacrificed for the Lord. And if you look, now if you notice in chapter 9, he said, I saw on the altar the what? The souls of them. Now, they didn't have their bodies. Some people says, well, this is us. No, it's not. It's not the saints. The raptured saints or called away saints. You know how we know that? Because the raptured saints has already got their glorified body by now. They're in heaven. They were changed in the twinkle of an eye when Jesus came for them. This is not the saints. This is people that have been saved during the tribulation time. And because they were saved, they were killed because of the testimony. You say, I don't think it'll get that bad that people be killed. It'll get that bad. They will kill, and the sad part about it is the majority of the world will be supporting it. They'll either be supporting it or they'll be too scared to say anything about it and do anything about it. One of the two things. But now notice, if you would, that the Bible says the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So it tells us that they were slain because they refused and to deny Jesus. And remember, this is Antichrist. He hates Jesus. You know how we tell the Antichrist? He denies that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible says anyone who does not preach that Jesus is the Son of God is the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. And so therefore we can know that. And by the way, when you read Jehovah's Witnesses, you read Mormons, and you read other doctrine, what you find is Roman Catholics, all of them does something different with Jesus. You say, well, what does Catholics? Catholics put you in touch with God through Jesus' mother. And therefore, they try to take it through the mother of Jesus. And they look at Jesus as from the mother of Jesus. And listen, the mother of Jesus was a sinner just like you and I. She was just selected to be the vehicle in which Jesus was to come into the world. But she is not what they teach. And as a matter of fact, some of them there try to make, they've tried to get the Catholic Church to put her up to the position of being a quartet of heaven. In other words, God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They've tried to exalt her to that level. And listen, When you start exalting the people of that level, you don't teach the same Jesus that we preach. Amen. And not only that, but the other ones, when they teach a son of God or the brother of Satan and those types, you need to get into those things. Somebody says, I just feel bad hurting their feelings and not letting them come in the house. Why? So they can preach your damnable doctrine? Listen, when they're preaching, they are part of the spirit of Antichrist when they reject that Jesus is a son of God. And therefore, you've got to reject them when that happens. But look out back in your Bibles a moment. It says in verse number 10, and they cried with a what? Now, this scripture here denotes, and it rejects a couple of doctrines. One doctrine is soul sleep. Some people teach us that when you die, you go to sleep. Somebody said, well, that's what the Bible says. What the Bible teaches is your body sleeps in the grave, not your soul. Your soul is not asleep. Everybody who has died and is waiting for Jesus to come back is awake, conscious, in heaven, in their souls. Their body's in the grave. What they're waiting for is for Jesus to bring them back. If they've been saved, they're up in heaven, and waiting for Jesus to bring them back, and in a moment, in twinkle of an eye, they'll be changed, and they'll be reunited with their bodies. This will be a glorified body. And their soul will be reunited with that glorified body, and then they will go, and they will have a body such as his. Now, those in hell, their bodies are in the grave, and they're still waiting in hell. They're waiting until the earth gives up the dead that's in it. Death and hell delivers up the dead that's in them. And they stand before God, Jesus, and they are cast in the lake of fire. That's what they're waiting for. The Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, there is a first resurrection, there is a second resurrection. There's a resurrection of life, there's a resurrection of the dead. And there's 1,000 years that separates those resurrections. At the end of the tribulation period will be the end of the first resurrection. Then there will be 1,000-year period time before the last resurrection happened. After the last resurrection, when hell will deliver up the deads in them, hell will be done away with, the earth will be done away with, and there'll be a new heaven and new earth, and people will be in the lake of fire forever and ever, ever, that's died, and there won't be another lost soul ever. Death will be destroyed with hell, and there'll no longer be any death. Now, let me say this. There is no such doctrine as soul sleep. Your soul is active. If you're in hell, it is in pain and agony, as a rich man was, thirsting, remembering who they were, remembering what chances they had, remembering their families, remembering all those things that they had. The rich man had all those things and qualities about him because his soul was alive. That's why when God created man, he made him a living soul. And whether you go to hell, whether you go to heaven, that soul's still going to be alive. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't take vacations. It's alive. And it will be a second death when they're cast in the lake of fire. And there they'll forever be dying, but their soul will still be conscious and will never be asleep or be paralyzed. Neither will they when they go to heaven. So don't ever fall into this doctrine that souls are asleep, because souls don't sleep. You say, well, does my loved one know, do they look down, see me? And I've heard people say that. Oh, well, your daddy is seeing everything you do. That's not true. I don't find that taught in the Bible. I find that there are angels going back and forth. And the Bible says these angels going back and forth, they take reports back. And guess what's one of the greatest reports that goes back to heaven? There is joy in the presence of the angels when they get up there and say, hey, Joe Smith just got saved. And then all of a sudden there's joy. And then all the heaven breaks loose in front of the angels because there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Isn't that good to know? And the second thing is, it also defies the doctrine of purgatory. Bible teaches no such thing as there is a place you go to and pray up and down. These people went exactly where they went. They went straight up to heaven because they were saved. And they were saved because they were martyrs of Christ. And notice here, it'll be a different. Now when the preaching of the kingdom is enacted, it'll be another dispensation than the dispensation of grace. Right now, in the dispensation of grace, we, if we had someone, we were to pray for heirs. We are to pray for people that persecutes us. Remember Stephen? Remember what he prayed when Saul and all of them was stoning him to death? Hold not this charge against them. Remember that? Remember what Jesus prayed? Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. During this time of tribulation time, it will be a different dispensation. You know what they will be praying to God? Look back in your Bibles. They'll be praying in verse number 10, and they cry with loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now notice, he doesn't rebuke them for this. It's a different dispensation for these believers, these tribulation saints, because it will cost them, and they have to stand, and they'll be persecuted to the point of martyred. And look in verse number 11. "And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So then what the Bible says is the Lord told them, says, just hold off. It's fixing to happen, but it's not going to happen until the rest of the thing is complete. And then, of course, when Jesus comes back at the end of 7 years, when all the brethren has been persecuted, all the martyrs been killed, then what Jesus is going to do is he's not only going to cast the beast and false prophet in Revelation chapter 19 when he comes back with his army, and he's going to have a sharp two-edged sword. He's going to cast them into hell. Everyone who has taken the mark of the beast is going to be cast into hell. And so all of them's going to have their fair share of persecution or punishment, judgment. And so my point is this. 2020 has been such a strange year. But I can see how all this is leading up and how quick any of this could take place. And it's amazing. That's why you need to be ready to leave. Somebody preached, Peter Ruckman, he wrote a book, a little pamphlet. And I don't agree with him on several of his doctrines, and I don't agree with him on this one. He said this, let me just summarize it and I'm going to close. Don't get too excited if you're left behind, because what he's going to try to teach you is a second chance. He teaches also how you'll come about being saved will be a mixture of works and faith. Again, not taught. Number three, he said, be sure don't take any marks or numbers. He says, number four, says get fanatical about your religion or your salvation. Number five, support the Jewish people. Well, all those may be good things, but the truth of the matter is, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, says everyone will be damned that refuse to believe the gospel. And so therefore, folks, those of you and those who may be listening, you have your opportunity now. I don't know when Jesus may come back. He could come back 2020. 2021, he can come back 100 years from now. I don't know. That's above my pay grade. But I know this, and I feel confident in my heart of this. If you're not saved when he comes back, you're damned. And you better be saved. You better be ready. And there's not a person here knows when that day and that hour is going to come. Therefore, a wise man be building his house upon the rock. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe tonight you're here and God has spoke to your heart. You know, sometimes we have this idea that on Wednesday night, the crowd, everybody's saved, everybody's going to heaven. But maybe God spoke to your heart and said, you need to be saved tonight. You ought to come. Maybe you're here and there's something else upon your heart and life that God's dealing with. You need to come. As we sing, Brother Eric.
204 in the blue hymnal, I want us to be together.